the Inspired Parenting Radio Show with host Sandy Sedgebeer, where our mission is to inspire conscious parents, families, and educators by bringing you the latest research and thinking on supporting today's highly evolved children to fulfill their potential as healthy, confident, resourceful, and emotionally intelligent individuals.
It's every parent's nightmare, if you'll forgive the pun. Your child suddenly develops a fear of going to bed, convinced that there is a monster lurking in their closet or under the bed. For some, the spectre is so frightening that even when they do fall asleep, their dreams are often filled with unnamed terrors, causing them to wake up several times in the night, inconsolable and afraid to be left alone. All children are afraid of the dark at some time. And some children are more afraid than others. But why is that? Is it just a normal phase that will pass with time, love, patience and reassurance? Well, what about nightmares? Are they simply a result of the brain trying to process daytime experiences and emotions that your child is too young to understand? An overactive imagination? Or could there be something else going on? Could your child actually be experiencing an otherworldly encounter? Inspired by decades of experience working with concerned families whose children suffer from unexplained terrors, Michelle Cohen wrote the book, Actually, There Is Something Under the Bed, A Parent's Guide to Empowering Their Child in the Dark, which is filled with insights, advice, and easy-to-follow fun exercises designed to empower children and parents alike while demonstrating that they have more command than they realised in any creepy circumstance. A highly experienced intuitive, Michelle emphasises that it doesn't matter if what scares children is real or imagined. The bottom line is, something is causing fear, so tackle that. In this show, Michelle is going to explain how to help a frightened child share his or her experience and offer several constructive ways to find power and control over the situation. She'll also share how children, as well as adults, can get rid of any unwanted energy in their environment. Michelle Cohen, welcome to the Inspired Parenting Show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Michelle, let's start at the beginning. I know that you are an intuitive counsellor, an author. You've got a multi-layered career, if not several careers running alongside one another. And we'll talk about the other careers a little bit later in the show. But first, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, it's, as you said, decades worth of working with, it started out as just friends calling me and saying, you know, can you help with my kid? And slowly it started turning into people I didn't know. And then it started turning into counselors and therapists. And people were basically concerned that something was going on with their kids and anything they tried was not helping. And they knew me enough to know that I had had my own experiences as a child. I was terrified of going to bed. I would literally jump from one end of my room to the other to try to get on the bed because I was completely sure that there was a hand that was going to reach out and grab me if I didn't make that jump. So I didn't know what was going on as a child. And so I had a really compassionate feeling for these kids. So when I would start talking to them, now granted, sometimes it really was an overactive imagination. You know, they had seen some scary movie and they were scared and it got them thinking. And that was something that could be attended to pretty quickly. But then I started working with certain kids where I would walk into their room and be overwhelmed by the kind of energy that was pulsing literally in that room. Now, not everybody feels that yet. I think we're coming into a world where more people are going to start feeling it, but especially a lot of the kids who are coming in now, they are really noticing things that are what I would call going bump in the dark. So I started working with individual kids and then larger amounts of kids, and I was so inspired, and it was kind of happening over and over again, I finally said, I should probably put this into a book just so that even more people, you know, it doesn't have to just be me singularly trying to help everyone. This was a very specific protocol. And I find when I give it to, I can give it to parents, I can give it to counselors, you know, guidance counselors, school teachers, and invariably, they have told me the second they get the book, the next day a kid comes in and says, you know, I think I was hearing voices in my room last night. And they immediately know how to help them because they have the book.
You know, my youngest grandson, Alec, who's five now, when he was a very precocious child, seemed to be, you know, developed and have an intellect far beyond his years. But even when he couldn't talk, every night when he would start to go to sleep, he would start panicking. And sometimes he would wake up in the night and scream into his mother, don't leave me, don't leave me, come get me, come get me. You know, as if he was experiencing something, but he couldn't articulate what it was. And I wondered, as he was going through layers of sleep, whether he was actually moving, you know, into a place maybe outside his body and encountering things, because I couldn't see how a child as young as two could actually have fears or, you know, imagine monsters. He wasn't exposed to that kind of thing.
Oh, that's such a good point. Yeah, part of it really depends on the developmental stage that the child is in. So when they're that young, they're really pure. They're still really attached to what I would call kind of multi-universe awarenesses. You know, they will really still feel if there's something that will put them on edge. As we get older, we become more numb and we become less aware of it. But at that stage, at that age, yeah, I don't think it's something that would have been imprinted in their minds just yet. It's something that they're legitimately noticing and legitimately scared about.
So how would you deal with that? I mean, if you can't talk to a two-year-old about it, you know, they don't really have a frame of reference for it. How would you, you know, a child as young as that, how would you deal with it?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I'm usually working with ones who are at least a bit more on the language scale. But what I would definitely do with someone that young is give them something to literally hold on to. There's something about having something in your hands. You know, that's why they love to clutch their pillow or their favorite blanket or their stuffed animal. And the more you imbue, let's say it's a stuffed animal, with special powers, and it's something that if they're handling that, they know that there's nothing to fear. Like, it's something that is a guard for them or will protect them. There's a combination of investing that kind of idea in an animate object that they can feel and see and touch. And there's also something about literally physically holding something. So, you know, if you're not holding your mommy's neck or you're not holding your daddy's hand, you're holding this thing and you feel safer. You feel that something outside of you is protecting you.
That's a good point, actually, because now what you're doing is you're creating an anchor.
Exactly.
Out of that teddy or that toy. So you say that empowerment is really important. Say more about that.
It's my favorite word. I think everyone, the more we feel empowered on this planet, the more we're just going to feel better. And in this frame of reference, the whole idea of something outside of ourselves that's scary, what I think I like to tell people most strongly is we actually are the most powerful people. We are the ones in the body. We are the ones with confidence. And when you stand in your confidence and you are, like you said, you know, your child, your grandson was leaving his body. If you're actually in your body and you are in your confidence, there is no one in any way, shape or form who can get to you. And people can kind of smell that. Like, you can tell when someone with real confidence walks into a room, you're not going to screw with them. Sorry for the words. you know, you're just not. You can tell when someone's a bit more meek or damaged or unsure of themselves. And that's someone that you can start, you know, if you're in a manipulative mood, you can manipulate. So for me, the whole point of this, especially for the kids, is to show them ways that they are in complete control, they are completely empowered, and they feel how strong they are. And then they can use that not just for their nighttime scariness, they can use that at any point in their lives. Anyone who's bothering them, be it a bully or someone who's being inappropriate with them, they can absolutely stand in their power and say no. And that's all they have to say. And it's clear, it's clean, and it's usually heeded.
Well, how do we empower a scared child? I mean, children's fears can be so huge they obliterate all reason. Where do we start with that?
Great question. I always say start in the daylight because it's just easier. So it could start with just a conversation. I mean, a lot of times we don't, kids want to talk. They just want to prattle on and on and on and on and on and on. And we don't always have the time or the space for them. So actually giving them a chance to just talk until they're done sometimes is enough. You know, just say, hey, I hear you're having these fears at night. Talk to me about them. And then they keep going and say, okay, tell me more. Oh, that's so interesting. Tell me more until they actually just get it out of them. Because half the time it's all these hidden fears that they're not sure they want to talk about. And if they can say it out loud and people just go, okay, and they give them a confirmation that they're not crazy or that at least they're being heard, that's really helpful to that kid. And it's very empowering.
Yeah, I can see that. I think the languaging is really important, isn't it? How you phrase those questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest issue is when people don't necessarily have a belief system around there being potentially something other than an imagination, which is completely fine, but just don't negate your child's experience. If your kid is saying, I saw a ghost in the corner, instead of saying, no, you didn't, just say, oh, really? How did that feel? And I've heard other people have had that experience. Are you sure that's what it is for you? It could be that, it could be something else, but to basically not make them think they're crazy. Because a lot of people are seeing things that other people can't, and it's very disconcerting to be told, no, you're wrong. You know, it's like being told, wait, I see everybody has eyebrows, and everyone's telling me that they don't. What do you mean? That's really crazy. So, in the same way, allow them to potentially.
It's okay, Michelle. We will continue this conversation when we come back in a
Sorry,
minute.
I got all excited. Great.
You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest is author and intuitive counselor, Michelle Cohen. After the break, Michelle is going to share how you or your children can determine the difference between what is scary.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Potential otherworldly encounters. Michelle, you said an interesting thing just before the break about, you know, some parents don't believe in the things that their children might be seeing, and how important it is that, regardless, not to, you know, say that the child is lying or is wrong. If we make the child wrong, then they're going to close down, right?
Exactly. Because here's the thing, I am in no way proselytizing. If you don't see it or believe in it, that is so fine. I mean, it's really, everyone comes to their own journey and their own spiritual journey in their own way. So there's nothing wrong with not necessarily seeing or even believing that your child is seeing something that you don't, or experiencing something that you're not experiencing. The problem becomes when you basically say to them, no, you're wrong, because they're going to listen to you. You're the parent. And that starts to give them really conflicting information inside, because according to them, they're not wrong. And then they don't know what to say and they don't know what to do. And for me, the more important thing is not whether it's true or not, or whether it's real or not. It's how do we help them? How do we help them feel clear and strong, and like I said, empowered? So as long as you're saying to them, look, I may not see it, but if you do, great. More importantly, let's help you get out of this. That's really the emphasis to me.
So how can parents or children determine the difference between what is scary and needs to go away versus what actually might be a more positive experience if they, you know, want to allow that?
Right. Great question. Because what's interesting in our culture, anything we see or feel that's other, we tend to assume it's bad or it's scary or we have to get rid of it. And what you start to discover is sort of the other side of it, where it may actually be, you know, a presence that loves you and wants to assist and help you. I mean, for some people, it could be angels. For other people, it's guides. For someone, it could be, you know, a relative who's passed. And these are not necessarily scary. It's just we don't have a frame of reference for them. So the easiest, and I'm always floored that it's this easy, way to discover the difference is all you have to do is either say out loud or send love. You literally, whatever the presence is, you can say, I love you. Do you love me? And what's so interesting is if it is not something from like a higher source or from something that's loving, it instantly goes away.
What do you do if you've got, I mean, you know, that's one great technique, but I mean, if you've got a parent who doesn't believe in any of this and gets really scared that their child, you know, they put it in the religious context, you know, they're being possessed or something, how do you calm those kinds of fears?
Oh, and they're legitimate. I mean, because once in a while, it can be that scary. So in the same way, I would not negate the fears of the child, I would never negate the fears of the adult either. They're completely legitimate, and they're coming from whatever, you know, background and belief system that they came from. So then to me, because you're an adult, you get to have sort of this exploratory, investigative, curious mind to put on, where I always say, okay, just make believe for a minute that it's real. Just what if in a strange, you're in some strange movie and suddenly, you know, you went down Alice's little rabbit hole and this was for real. What would that be like for you? So that it's not, I'm not saying it has to be real. I'm just saying make believe. And it helps people just kind of shift their perspective a little bit and try something on in a safe way. Because again, I'm not saying keep that on, you know, stay there, but just try it out. Because a lot of times when we go into fear, we get immobilized and we don't want to try something. We get very scared and we don't even want to imagine that something else is possible. So the more we can expand just the little, you know, throw a little drop into the water of, what if, maybe. And that tends to just kind of relax people a little bit, because I'm not saying you have to believe it. I'm just saying try it on. And then as an adult, you can start, you know, trying different books or listen to different experiences of other people. You can explore it if you're willing to look at it in a way that this is in order to help my child, as opposed to this is something that goes against everything I believe in. Does that make sense?
So talking to children about, spirit guides, angels, and even negative entities. I mean, the negative entity is a difficult one. Mm-hmm. Children, all children learn about angels somewhere along the line. Maybe they don't all learn about spirit guides, but an angel is not foreign to them. But to talk about a negative energy, how would you talk to them about that without frightening them even further?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've come a long way around what I think of what is negative versus positive. I've started to look at it more as something that's just more higher consciousness or more awake and less conscious and less awake. So what I find when I talk to kids about it as, oh, you know what, this feeling that feels scary, they're just not as smart as you. They're not as aware. They don't realize that they're frightening you. And if we just sent them some love and we informed them, hey, you know what, you're scaring me, they would say, really, I am? You know, and basically giving them a different perspective of, in a way, they're teaching this fearful entity that it's not okay to treat them this way.
How would you determine when you're working with a parent and a child or just the child, how would you determine whether the child is really seeing something or it's their imagination?
Great question. I mean, for me personally, because I have the background, I can usually tell, but that's not everybody's experience. So, I mean, part of it is how they talk about it. If it seems like it's something that comes and goes, and is not, you know, sometimes scary and sometimes not, that's probably more their imagination and it's something they're not making up, but something that's fleeting. If it's something that's incredibly consistent and it's something that scares them kind of in the same way for enough period of time, that's a good indication that there's some stuck energy and they're not making it up.
Now, you are an intuitive counselor. You do have a connection with the unseen. You do talk to the universe, to angels, to spirit guides. At what stage did you understand that you had that ability and that connection?
Well, I grew up in a very traditional household where none of this was discussed, thought of, or even imagined. So it wasn't that I didn't have support. It's just we had no awareness. So I just got scared. I mean, that's why I totally feel for everybody, because I was horrified and terrified of all of these experiences I was having that nobody else had. So I did my best to shut it down as much as humanly possible. And that went well for a while. And then not so much. So it actually wasn't until in my 20s where I was already out in the world and had all these businesses going. And there was one day I was doing incredibly well, and I decided the only answer was to take to my bed for a week. And I had no idea what was wrong with me. And it just, everything felt terrible. And luckily for me, I had a friend from college who had grown up in a more alternative background. And she took one look at me and said, oh, you're having a psychic break. I'm like, oh, what is that? You know, I had no clue. And she was able to take me through and make me understand that by submerging and not dealing with all of these abilities that I had, I was just making things worse. So luckily through her and then through just years and years of exposure and training and awareness, I just kind of exploded into all of these skill sets that I now have that luckily I get to help other people explore their own versions of it, because I know so deeply what it's like to not have it and then have it sort of explode on you.
You played with a Ouija board when you were young, and many people regard that as a route to disaster. How was it for you?
Oh yeah, it was not a good idea. I mean, here's the thing. Like I said, when you're dealing with these entities who I would call less aware, less awake, they basically try to work with kids who are less aware and less awake. It's just easier for them. So it can get really nasty. It can get very inappropriate and scary pretty quickly. I mean, there's ways to use those boards that are appropriate. You can create circles of safety. You can go about it in a way that it actually can be helpful, but most people aren't. They're using it as a game, or they don't really understand what they're playing around with, and it can cause a lot of trouble. And that's where I really got the most scared, because they knew I had abilities that I didn't know about. Like, I can literally feel entities, like physically feel as if a hand is on my back. And they would start playing with me and like play with my hair. And I knew there was nobody behind me. So it was just very frightening for me as, you know, a young adult. So it was a bad idea.
Take us through your intervention protocol. Tell us, what that entails.
Absolutely. Well, basically, as I said, speaking about it is really important. And then giving them the space to clear their space. I like going through either the room itself or your entire house and make it something that you feel really comfortable. And I give all these wonderful little games, depending on how old your kid is, to play in order to get really strong and to re-energize your home so that they're claiming it as their home and nobody else can take it. So that's the first part during the day. And then for the evening, what I also talk about is creating what I call a power stance. And it's imbuing some powerful way you're holding your body, you know, the way Superman holds his body or a martial artist, you know, holds their hands in front, and imbuing that feeling with so much strength and fun and power and happiness that the second something comes in that makes you scared and you go into that power stance instead, it actually infuses your body differently and you feel better. So there's just this wonderful correlation of change your body stance and you suddenly change your mind.
When you talk about clearing space, are you doing this, with things like smudge, with intention, some kind of ritual?
You can do a little bit of all of it. Sage is never a bad idea, but I also have them use magic wands if they want and literally energize it with their own internal energy. I like it coming from inside, because I think that's the strongest place to come from.
I think that's really good. I mean, I think if the kid is involved in, you know, creating a solution for themselves, then there's more chance that it will work.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember giving my grandson, you know, who grew up to have nightmares, a little bottle, and I told him, in a little spray bottle, and I said it was ghost spray.
You know, perfect.
He could spray it all around his room and they would go away. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author and intuitive counselor Michelle Cohen about how to deal with children's nighttime fears. After the break, Michelle will provide three solutions that you can use if fear continues. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author and intuitive counsellor Michelle Cohen about her book, Actually, There Is Something Under the Bed, A Parent's Guide to Empowering Their Child in the Dark. Michelle, you have three solutions. If nothing else works, take us through these three solutions.
Absolutely. I basically go piece by piece. You hope that the easiest thing will be what they need, but sometimes, you know, you need a bit more of the protocol. So if at any of the things you were doing during the day are not strong enough, these are the actual stands that you can take in the evening when they're in their bed by themselves. So it's and they can pick and choose whichever works best for them. But basically the ideas are very specifically, and saying things out loud actually makes a difference. Saying out loud, kind of like being Glinda the Good Witch saying, "You have no power here, be gone." That's a really good one to claim. Again, we keep saying, if you're in your body, the bottom line, the way I understand the way the universe works is whoever is in the body is the one with the most power. So you in the power place in your body, say out loud, "You have no power here." Then that immediately wishes away anything. It's because they realize now you know better. Like when we talked about with the Ouija board, with the kids, if they don't know better, they can take advantage of them. But the second you claim, "You have no power here, be gone," they realize, "Oh, jig is up, gotta go. Let's go try and bother somebody else who doesn't understand that this is something we're not supposed to be doing." So that's one version. The other, like I had said about sending love, you can literally, you know, clutching that teddy bear or whatever it is, just look into the space or feel into the space where you feel this power is, and just say with the deepest love, "I love you." And it's just astounding, because if it's something that loves you back, you will feel so warm and comforted, and you'll wonder why you were scared in the first place. And conversely, if it's something that's not there for you for a positive reason, it's like a cold air suddenly just dissipates. So that one you can literally say out loud, or if you're too frightened, sometimes people are scared to talk, just let your heart, you know, beat and just feel the love directed in that direction. And that will really help. So those are kind of the initial two to use. Now, again, if they're really frightened and it's not working, I do recommend going into that power stance that we talked about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, again, they may be too scared even to move. If that's the case, just imagine the power stance in their heads. Just imagine that they're standing there with their arms up high, you know, in the way that makes them feel really comfortable. And that's enough, because that will also infuse your body. You know, I grew up as an actress, so I know the difference of when I'm playing a character and I make certain character choices, I'll think, "Oh, you know what? This character, when she wipes her brow, that just makes her feel really comfortable." So I would do it enough times that I would start to really feel like that character anytime I wiped my brow. So it's the same thing. We're kind of giving an acting exercise to a kid where every time they move their arms over their head, it just makes them feel really happy and really powerful. So once they go into that stance, either in their mind or literally into their body, they can then literally start saying, "You have no permission to be here. I am the strong one. I am in control. You have to go." And sometimes for ghosts, they say to say, "Go to the light." You can say that. And then the other piece is you can ask for help. You can say, "I call in all of my guides, all of my angels, everybody who loves me. I call in the universe," you know, whatever version that feels good to you. "I'm asking for help. Please remove what's making me scared."
So you teach them to access their inner Iron Man or Power Ranger.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the minute, you know, they love playing those characters, the minute they assume that kind of identity, they just, they grow, don't they? They expand.
Well, it's true. I mean, that's part of what, you know, make-believe is. You get to make-believe that you're some superhero. And the reality is we really are superheroes. We just forget. So this is helping them access the parts of them that are truly heroic and able to take care of themselves.
So this protocol, you said before that it can actually be used any time in the daytime for bullying or other fears. And for those parents that get uncomfortable talking about the more esoteric side of this, this is where it can be, you know, grounded and very practical. Give us some examples of how it could be used for bullying, etc.
Yeah, it's true. I made sure I had more traditional people like therapists go over the protocol because I wanted to make sure I wasn't damaging anybody, you know, little things. and they all just said this is perfect because it works not just for something that could be esoteric, but it really, I mean, imagine, you know, that bully is coming at you at the locker again and you suddenly imagine to yourself a combination of I'm standing in my power. You have no control over me, and sending them love. I mean, what's a bully but someone who has a broken heart, really? So if you actually send them love, it tends to stop them in their tracks. Because again, they're just looking for someone who's weaker than them. And if you're not, and if you choose to actually, with great compassion and love, send them back to themselves, they're gone.
In your book, you actually have sections on muscle testing and automatic writing. Yeah, automatic writing. Is that a responsible thing to be teaching children, do you think?
Well, it's something that section, I think, is a bit more for adults. And it depends on the child. It depends on their age and it depends on their mature level. The reason I put it in was for adults who might want to explore more of what's going on. These were a couple of suggestions of certain ways you can access inner information, inner guidance, intuition. So I think it depends, again, on the fluidity of the kid. But I do know a lot of guidance counselors and therapists use automatic writing from the sense of talking to, you know, another side of yourself, or if you're older, your inner child. You know, it's a way to access other parts of you that are literally you, not necessarily something else. So it's a pretty strangely grounded in more earthly, shall we say, for lack of a better word, concepts than some of the other things that might really seem off the charts weird.
So if a child is younger, then I guess what you would do is you'd take that and tell them to talk to their inner Iron Man or Power Ranger. And what would they say to them about this situation?
Yeah, especially younger ones. They're still pretty close to the access. So it's not very hard. I mean, so many have, quote unquote, their imaginary friends, which to me are not so imaginary. So they're much easier and more facile. So if you give them, you know, an idea, like I teach a lot of how to access just sort of a yes and no for yourself. And this is for anybody, you know, it could be you flip a coin if it's a yes or no. But if you want to help a kid get the feeling for it, you can literally say to them, okay, let's try this. Say the kid's name is Henry. Say to them, okay, say that my name is Robert. And they start to giggle. And then I say, now, how does your body feel? Because that was a lie. That didn't feel right. And they giggle again. So then that's your no. So now say your name is Henry. And they say, my name is Henry. And that feels right. That feels aligned. That feels true. So that teaches them in their body their own guidance of what feels right when it's correct and what feels wrong when it's incorrect. So that's an immediate access on just a yes and no of what can work for them and what can't.
Tell us about the law of the universe. How does that play in here?
Well, the way I understand it and the way it's been taught to me is that the universe wants to help. I mean, again, it can be whatever version of the word you want to call it, the universe, angels, God. They're desperate to help, but they will not help unless you ask, because we're a free will world. We cannot just be told, you go do this, you mindless Borg. So one of the ways you can tell whether you're working with someone or something that is for your highest good, they won't respond until you ask a question. If something is telling you without being asked, go do this, or you need this, or you're like this, you know that they are not working within the appropriate laws of the universe.
Do you have any examples that you can tell us about children who have been particularly afraid?
There's so many. I had one little boy who, it was so interesting. He was very afraid of his bed. And I knew the parents, so I actually went to their home and went into the room and took one look at his bed and said, oh my God, let's get this out. It was literally just in the wrong space in the room. And once we moved the bed to another part of the room, he slept like a baby.
What was going on there?
There was just some kind of, I call it sludge. It wasn't even enough to make up what we would look at as sort of a human form. It was just this kind of stuck energy that was in the corner of the room, and he was literally lying on it. So it was making him crazy and very uncomfortable. So we did the combination. We moved the bed to the other side of the room, and then I just got rid of the sludge that was in that section. But we felt that he had imprinted so much pain from being at that side of the room that instead of just putting him back, we just gave him a whole new experience, and he was completely fine.
I've heard that, you know, children are very sensitive to colors and sounds in their rooms, and some people use music and, you know, moving the colors around, changing the wallpaper or the paint or something to help create a different energy.
Well, it also depends on, this is another thing I tend to talk about, which skill set you have. Some people are more, what I would say, clairvoyant, where they're seeing things, and other people are more clairaudient, where they hear things. So part of it depends on which sensitivity, or I call them superpowers, that they have. So it's true, if there's certain kids who, you know, the wallpaper is all freaky, they definitely are seeing things, and shifting that is good. And for others, it may be better because they're just hearing sounds and it's just scaring them. So to shift them musically or orally is perfect.
So what response have you had from parents to your book?
Oh, they're so grateful. And especially guidance counselors, because they get so many kids who say, I'm hearing voices, and they know there's nothing wrong with them. Like, they don't want to send them to a hospital. So I intervene and boom, they're fine.
Have you had any negative response from people who think it's a little bit too woo-woo?
Oh, absolutely. and that's okay. You know, God bless them. If this is not your thing, go do something else. It's really okay. It's only for the people that it's for.
You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with intuitive counselor and author Michelle Cohen about her book, Actually, There Is Something Under the Bed, A Parent's Guide to Empowering Their Child in the Dark, which offers tools and strategies to help deal with children's nighttime fears. We'll be back after the break with more from Michelle. Stay tuned.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits, and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
The universe. You also have another successful career, several in fact, voice coach, producer, writer, director, performer. You're no stranger to success, and you've also been featured on CNN, Good Morning America, NPR, People Magazine, Entertainment Weekly. You write books. I guess, you know, nightmares probably don't affect you anymore because you can't be getting much sleep.
I know. It's actually interesting. I don't sleep as much as I used to, and I really couldn't. I'm so busy. It's wonderful. I feel very privileged. Part of it, I think, is because I'm so tapped in. I get so much interesting information, and I just want to express it and share it in so many different ways. So it's pretty exciting. And I'm a bit of a overachiever, shall we say. And I've been doing a lot of this since I was a kid. I mean, I was a professional performer from the age of 6 on, and studied and trained and loved it, and then started branching out into producing and did incredibly well there. And now I'm writing, and it's fun because it's a combination of writing from a creative entertainment stance and then writing what I would call these, you know, sort of side projects of, you know, oh my God, I have to help everybody who's having nightmares. And I suddenly like compulsively make that happen. So.
Well, you know, kudos to you. I love hearing about people who come out of the closet and are not ashamed to express all the different parts of themselves. You know, at one point in my career, I was told, stop flitting into all these other areas. You'll become a jack of all trades. In fact, the best thing we can do for our kids is to give them that role model of, you know, express it all.
It's true. I mean, we come from a world where they like to put us in boxes. And I've never fit into a box from early on. And I think there's something really powerful to say, hey, I have a couple different opportunities and a couple different gifts. And I will say it took me a really long time to find a way to combine them holistically. I would really struggle with that. And I think that's a lot of people's issues of how to sort of explain themselves in a way that doesn't have people running screaming from the room. But there is something really powerful about admitting, you know, hey, I don't want to just do one thing and the rest are my hobbies. I really do all of these things and I feel comfortable expressing them and people enjoy it. So why not? So, you know, depending on the hour, I'm like, oh, okay, right now I'm an intuitive. And then, oh, 3 hours later, I guess I'm a writer. You know, oh, now I'm singing. You know, it's really fun.
And that's what kids do throughout the day.
That's true. It's a good point. So I'm an eternal kid is what I am.
Well, good. Good for you. Great message to send to children. So you developed the Intuition Toolkit, which I can imagine if there's any parent listening who does believe in these things and is very interested in being able to develop their intuition so they can be even more helpful to their children in this particular circumstance and more, the Intuition Toolkit would be great for them. So tell us about that.
Oh, that's my absolute hope and dream. I have been working with so many clients and realized that they didn't believe they had any abilities, that they were not tuned in, that they did not have gut checks. And I kept thinking, you're crazy. Of course you do. Now, to what degree? That's who knows. And what are your special talents? Who knows? And what I literally got a tap on the head, last year, where, you know, what I call my posse and guides, they said, guess what? We're going to have you put together this, what we're calling the Intuition Toolkit, because there are so many people out there who are really ready. They're really curious, but there's, you know, there's no Hogwarts. There's no place to go to learn sort of your initial entryway into how to tap into your inner guidance and what is it and what skill sets do I have. So I very excitedly put this together, and it's a combination. You can read it as a transcript, or you can listen to me jabbering away as an audio, and there's a workbook, and it takes you through bit by bit all the questions you may have about what in the world is going on, or what in the world is going on with me, and really takes you, it could be very fundamental where it's just cut and dry. Okay, I'm learning how to listen to my body, and my body is telling me I want broccoli. Okay, I've got it. Or it could be completely off the charts of, oh, I want to go talk to aliens now. You know, we can really run the gamut. And I've learned that I have a good way of helping people feel safe and calm as they're learning this. I don't take you into some weird direction. And I'm really clear about some people's boundaries. And I'm in no way wanting to cause havoc. So it's very lovingly done. And it's very exciting. People are telling me that by the fourth lesson, they are undeniably changed and shifted. They're starting to have all kinds of off the charts experiences and are loving it.
Are there any little exercises that you could, you know, take us through or give us something not too long right now?
Oh my gosh, how fun. Let's see. Well, there's so many things that are running through my head. It's like you can do so many things. Well, part of it is notice which sense is your most obvious sense. Are you someone who smells things all the time, like really powerful odors? Or do you just see things that nobody else sees? You know, colors that are in art that everyone's saying, what are you looking at? Or do you think you're hearing things? Basically, the place to start is your own sensual experience. It literally starts in the body, which is strange because we're talking about energy and spirit. But the more you recognize what your extraordinary sense is of the five senses, then you actually start to figure out what your sixth sense is. So what I would recommend for someone is take a day, like 5 days within the week, and pick, you know, this is my seeing day. And just start looking around and see what you notice and see things that you didn't see before. Like make it a focus of I am looking today. And then on the next day, oh, I want to touch things, touch your food, touch your face, touch things that you wouldn't normally think to touch and see if that changes or if that really excites you. And that's a perfect way to discover, you know, if the visual is really clear and clean for you, you're probably clairvoyant. Like I knew someone who was trying to become clairvoyant. He really, 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 really wanted to see stuff. And he was asking people to train him and help him. And I took one look at him and I said, you might be able to do that someday, but you're clairaudient. So start listening. It's going to be a lot easier. Because the messages want to get in, but just do it where your gift is.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that they have specific gifts.
You know, you're so right. I used to envy all my friends who saw or spoke to beings or whatever and got information. And I used to say that I don't get anything, but I get mine just from that kind of clairsentient knowing,
the knowing. Yes.
Yeah. And that was the hardest thing to actually accept because there was no evidence.
Right. And that's what I do in the kit is I help you actually discover which version is yours. Because the second you start accessing it and the second it starts really getting stronger, oh my Lord, the messages you start getting are so exciting.
Would you teach this to children?
I think in a gentle way. Again, we as adults have more junk and wounding and doubt that we need to undo. Whereas a kid, if they're already in make-believe land, they may be saying to you, well, yeah, of course. Like it may not be as distant for them as it is for us. So with them, it's more of a question of don't shut it down as opposed to needing to start it up.
Do you think that the children who tend to have the most vivid, frightening nightmares and fears, by and large, tend to be the ones that are more energetically sensitive?
Without question, yeah.
And you can actually grow that, I imagine, in the way that you talk to them in a safe, comfortable way that they begin to accept that energetic sensitivity can be a plus in their life.
Yeah. I mean, what's so funny is I'll get on the phone with a kid and expect I'll be talking to them for like half an hour to talk them through stuff. And we'll just start talking. And then I'll say, hey, I hear you're seeing things. And they say, yeah. And I see things too. You do? Uh-huh. You know you're safe and you're okay, right? I am? Uh-huh. Okay, good. Bye. Like, they're done. It's fine.
Is that how most of your, sessions are conducted, at distance with a child?
It can be. I've done both.
And do the children start off feeling a little bit diffident about suddenly being confronted with this strange person that they have to talk to?
No, I'm pretty calm and fun with them. So I don't start immediately with, hey, let's talk about ghosts. Mm-hmm. You know, we just start talking and they get pretty comfortable with me pretty quickly.
So this intuition toolkit, I understand that you're doing a special offer.
I am. I want so many people to do this that I have decided for $4 only, you're going to get two of the major lessons from the entire piece, plus all kinds of exercises because I love to give things, breathing exercises, helping with mindfulness and peace and calm and anxiety. And $4, that's it. Go get it.
That's on your website, theintuitiontoolkit.com.
Exactly.
Good. Okay, before we bring the show to a close, Michelle, where can our listeners get your book?
Oh, well, you can go to Amazon.com. You can also go to my site, which is MichelleCohenProjects.com. And on the homepage, there's a list of just, everything I'm doing. So have fun.
And what's coming up next for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, getting these out are fun. I've been starting to do more sessions for people again. So I am actually available. And I just want to help. It's a really rough time right now. So however we can access information for people to help them feel better in their lives, that's what I'm here for.
Michelle Cohen, thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. What a joy.
It's been a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Actually, there is something under the bed, A Parent's Guide to Empowering Their Child in the Dark by Michelle Cohen. Look out for it at Amazon.com and at MichelleCohenProjects.com. That's all for this week. The Inspired Parenting Radio Show is brought to you by Inspired Parenting Magazine. Visit the website, find out why you might want to subscribe. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for being with me today. I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye for me.